Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you as we have this pioneering heart to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? I'm not hearing you. Good morning. God is good, and thank you to the worship team. That was really a wonderful time, and God is ministering amongst us. We can just see God in his presence here. I just want us to pray for our nation. You know, we're going into a municipal election, and if we don't pray for our nation, I just want to know we're going to get what we don't pray for. And I'd like you just to agree with me in your heart, because the prayer of agreement is so powerful before our Lord. We want to pray for peace in this nation. We want to pray for his righteousness in this nation. Let's pray for South Africa. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we lift up our nation, South Africa. You've placed us in this land to live at this time. And Lord, we do not trust in politicians and in a political system. But Lord, you work through those, Lord, to bless us. And Father, we pray for the blessing and the prosperity of your righteousness on this nation, that you would work through the political system, Lord, and that we pray for not the parties that would stand for unrighteousness, but we pray for righteousness over this nation. Raise up the men and women, Lord, that stand for you. And I pray, Father, for those that would vote. They would vote with understanding and wisdom, and pray for the. We pray, Lord, that people would vote for righteousness in this nation now, in Jesus' name. And Satan, we tell you have no authority over this nation. This nation belongs to Jesus, and we declare that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Just quickly turn to the person on your left and your right and say, good morning. How are you today? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's a place of worship. It's a place of bringing glory to God. Amen. So good to have you all here this morning. As we've been praying, and as elders we prayed this morning, I just really want to remind you of Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So often we're looking at the added things unto you, and we're trying to sort those things out, but it's actually seeking God first. And how do we seek God first? We love him, we worship him, we praise him, we put him first in every area of our lives. And you know what? Then God goes before us and he sorts out all those other things that are hindering us. So you might be battling here today and you're trying to find perspective in what you're doing, and you've got a mountain and a hurdle of things to get through, and you might be despondent and might even be depressive. I want to say to you, seek first the kingdom of God and fall in love with Jesus again. Fall in love with Jesus and worship him and honor him and glorify him. And I'm telling you now, out of that, God will go before you and he will sort all those things out. That's what he is. He's God. And let him be God in your life. Amen. Father, bless this time as we come to your word. May you prick our hearts and bring us into understanding of what you're wanting to say to us. May there be revelation knowledge of your grace and your ways today now, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll ask you a question. What is your gospel? What is your gospel? What do you believe? Because I'm telling you, this is something that we are facing in the world that we live today, is this gospel that we believe will be challenged. And the devil is out there to destroy and to take away. The world is there to take away what you believe. And I'm finding when it comes to many Christians, they have given their heart to the Lord, but they haven't got a foundation of the gospel. They are weak in their foundation of the gospel. They don't know what they believe. Yes, they believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't understand what it really means. And I'm telling you, the gospel is under attack. And it's not under attack in the church. It's an attack in your life because you are the church. And if the devil can rob you of understanding what the gospel is, he can defeat you. Because when you understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is victorious. It is all-powerful. It's God Almighty. It's a finished work. And the Lord wants you to live in that fullness. But I want to just say to you, the world is attacking you. The devil is attacking you. And religious systems are attacking you to undermine what you believe. Now, the journey I've walked is this. I gave my heart to the Lord as a 16-year-old, and I asked God to lead me to the truth. And I'm still on a journey of truth because the gospel is revealed by the Holy Spirit. I can preach it here, but unless the Holy Spirit takes those words, the words of God, and illuminates them to you and brings them to life in your spirit, you are not going to understand it. The gospel comes by revelation. It comes by revelation of the Holy Spirit. And I want to just trust today as we continue in the letter to the church at Philippi that God will open up your eyes to your gospel. And I'm challenging you today, what do you believe, to ensure that you believe the right stuff. And we can only go back to the Word of God. And you need to go back to God also and say, is this the correct gospel? Because we all need a revelation by the Holy Spirit. So the theme of the message today is the letter to the church in Philippi, newness of life. And the text today is from Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. If you want to get your Bibles out, and let's read that together. I read from the English Standard Version. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. A short but very powerful portion of Scripture. You see, again, I say to you, the Holy Spirit needs to teach us this gospel. It comes by revelation, and many have been deceived. And when their hearts are in their own pride and their own self-righteousness, darkness comes and comes to rob of the truth that is in Christ. So today, I want to just get through 3 points or 4 points. We'll deal with the fourth point next week. Firstly, we are the circumcision. Secondly, we worship in spirit or by the Spirit of God. Thirdly, we boast or glory in Christ Jesus. And fourthly, we put no confidence in the flesh. So the context to this portion of Scripture, verse 3, you've got to read verse 1 to 3 again. So I read again from 1 to 3. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. I write the same things to you. Is no trouble for me and is safe for you. Look out for those dogs. Look out for those evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. So we get through the book of Philippians, we get to chapter 3, and Paul starts to get to the heart of what's actually happening. At that time, we see the book that's written to the church in Galatia, the gospel was being attacked. And even here, Paul was seeing that the gospel was being attacked. They were trying to take away the truth of the revelation of Jesus Christ and try to bring them into another system. And here Paul gets dogmatic, he gets ugly, he actually tantamount swearing. Look out for those dogs! They're robbing you, they're taking away what belongs to you. They're evildoers, they want to mutilate the flesh. He was dogmatic because he knows when the gospel is taken away from you, you are robbed forever. Because when the truth comes of the gospel, you are liberated. And yeah, the devil is using men, and Paul doesn't mince his words, and he says they are evil, they are dogs. But the dogs roamed in those days. Dogs weren't like today where they are pets and they obey. They were scavengers. And when there was things, they would come and bite, and they would be terrible things. They're full of disease. And yeah, the image of that is this is darkness, get away from it. And then Paul comes to this proclamation and he says, this is a proclamation, we are the circumcision. We who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. He brings the church in Philippi to what do we believe? Because he wants them to be founded on truth in Jesus. And I say even today, the devil is coming to try and take away the truth that we have in Jesus Christ. You see, there are many ideas out there today, and there are many so-called truth religions out there that are trying to rob us from the truth of Jesus Christ. And we've got to be rightly divide the scriptures to understand what the truth is. Now, who were these people that were coming against here? And the Bible tells us from Galatians and even here in Philippians, Paul was alluding to the Judaizers. Who were the Judaizers? The Judaizers were actually Jews that actually came to Christ, but actually weren't founded on Christ. Their gospel, their truth that they had was to get back to the Mosaic law and start to do things from a legalistic, a ritual basis and not to find freedom in Christ. And their hope was to formulate an Israel, to have an Israelite nationality. And they were trying to draw the people in that time that whoever who supposedly had Christ, come, be with us, and let's get back to forming a nation of Israel. Let's get under the Mosaic law. Let's circumcise the flesh. And it was a religion that was contrary to Christ. And I don't know if you know, if you read your Bible very carefully and you read the book of Acts, the early church in Jerusalem actually floundered. They got up into this Mosaic law. Even though they were trusting in Christ, they commingled the gospel and got the gospel that they never founded themselves totally on Christ, but they got themselves mixed up with the Mosaic law. And Jesus came and said, I've come to fulfill the law. I've actually come to make it obsolete and for you to come into a new covenant. And the new covenant is found in me, and everything must be about me. And this is difficult because we travel up into Africa, and the wrong gospel is preached. It's so easy, folk, to preach the Ten Commandments. Because it's what you can do, and if you do it right, then you'll be fine. Actually, in Christ, the new covenant embellishes, it takes the whole of the old covenant and fulfilled it even further in Christ. So what do these Judaizers do? As I said, they become legalistic. There's a legalistic righteousness, their own righteousness. They're more concerned about morality rather than living in the Spirit. They put heavy burdens on people. They try and do the external thing of the acts of righteousness. They get into a place where they seemingly, when you look at the fruits of their lives, they're not stealing, they're not doing adultery, but there's no faith. There's no faith because we live by faith in Christ. You can't please God if not by faith. And actually, they reject Jesus and the fullness of Christ, and they come with their zeal to build a nationalistic righteousness. So here Paul comes and says, no, 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 we need to stand against this thing. And he reminds them of this gospel that we have in Christ Jesus. So firstly, Paul says, we are the circumcision. Now, I was thinking about that now. If we go and proclaim that out in the world there today, they'll think we are absolutely cuckoo. Because circumcision is a foreign term to the world at this point in time. But we need to understand it from a gospel point of view because it comes back what happened under Abraham when this was a seal with Abraham that when there was a circumcision, there was a justification by faith. And amazingly, when we see the sign of circumcision, we see Romans 4 verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness that had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised in order that the righteousness might be credited him. Lots and lots of stuff happening there. But the sign of circumcision and what actually happened when the sign of circumcision took place, Abram became Abraham. So there was a sense of newness came through. And here we come into the new covenant. There's a real circumcision that takes place in our hearts. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, this is what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Now to unpack that, this circumcision, which is a taking away, is a cutting off of the old sinful nature. The Bible talks about the flesh gets cut off and the new has come. You've made a new person. There's a new nature that's placed within you. That's the nature of God, the nature of agape, the nature of love that comes in you. And then we are found in Christ as a new creation. Now, this is mind-boggling that God, actually, there was a creative event that took place on the cross, that God opened up the way that this new creation can say, you are a new creation. You are a special people. You are, can I say, I'm not a biologist. You're a new species. You're not a Homo sapien anymore. Even though you live in a body, the world has classified you as Homo sapien. But actually, the Bible says you're a new creation in Christ. And we've got to understand this, because no longer do we belong to the world, we belong to our Father in Christ. And He's created Himself in us. And this is the miracle. We don't belong to Adam anymore. We don't belong to Israel. We're no longer Jew or Gentile anymore. The beauty of it is that we are children of God. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are now in Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. This is the circumcision. There's been a cutting away. You're no longer part of this world. Now you're in Christ. Now that is very important, because you need to know who you're in so you can go forward. You're no longer in the world. You see, I was thinking of the analogy. When you want to go and swim, you jump into the water, and then you can swim in it. It's the same thing. We jump into the water of Christ, and we can live our lives in Him in the fullness of that. So He's bigger than who we are, but we find ourselves in Christ. So in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23, it gives us a clue of understanding the psyche and the psychology of who we are. It says here, now may God of peace Himself sanctify you completely and make you whole, spirit, soul, and body, and kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, God created us, and I want to just say here is that the Spirit of God put these scriptures together. He didn't say body, soul, and spirit. And many times when you read, even Christian writers will say body, soul, and spirit. The scripture doesn't say that. It says first spirit, soul, and body, because the real you is spirit. You need to understand that, because you may seem that you're actually in a body, but the real you is a spirit being. Because when you die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Your spirit and your soul, or your spiritual entity, they're gone. Your body remains behind and dies and goes to decay and burying the body. The real you is within you. And that's a big change, because the Old Testament was an external gospel, an external truth. Now we come to the new covenant. All of a sudden we come to this reality of the spirit realm. And you know, that's so foreign to every one of us, and the Holy Spirit has to reveal, but we have got to start to learn to understand that you're a spiritual being living in a physical body, but your soul is part of that spirit being, where your mind, your intellect, and your will and your emotions are. And when you start to grapple with that and start to understand that, the aspect of the Word of God becomes so easy, because Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are truth. That's just where we link. We live in the Spirit. God is Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are Spirit. Yes, they are the Spirit. But the realm of God is Spirit. And we've got to get our mind changed, and we've got to get our minds renewed to understand what it is to live in this realm of the Spirit. So what happens? God changes our spirit. He gives us a new spirit. The old is gone. Your old spirit, my understanding from the Scriptures, is gone, new creation. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus couldn't understand, because he was looking from the outside. He said, how can you be born again into your mother's womb? It's impossible. But Jesus says, this comes from heaven. You'll be made anew. So your spirit being, if you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, your spirit is new. It's a new creation. It's created in Christ, and it's a place of dwelling where Christ comes to live Himself. God Almighty, in all His fullness, Christ the Son, comes to live in you, and He dwells. That's the beauty of it. Not in you, He comes to dwell in you. I find that absolutely incredible. This incorruptible seed of God comes to live inside of us. We cannot always comprehend these things, but we need to know that, because where do we look to? Yes, we need to look up and into heaven and have our eyes focused on where we're going. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Look within you. And then your soul is where the Holy Spirit works. He brings us to a place of renewal of our minds through the Word of God. And we need to have our minds renewed because we need to understand. God doesn't throw away our intellect. We need to understand the Word of God. That's why we need to be in the Word of God. We need to be renewing our minds and understanding. And then, as I said, our bodies are important too. If your body's out of sync, the rest of your body, your soul and your spirit battles also. So we need to keep the whole entity working together. In John chapter 3, verse 16, you know this very well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God created this entity of this new creation to put himself in. But as Jesus said, I've come to give them eternal life. And if you go and read the scriptures and you start to see things, one of the major themes when Christ comes, he comes to give you life. And it's not life of existence. It's the Greek word is zoe. And that's the God life. And Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give you life more abundantly. And I want to say that some of the struggles that we all have in our lives, we need to be contending. We need to be fighting for this life of God. Even the scriptures, as we pray for people, the scripture comes from Romans 8, that the Holy Spirit will bring life to your mortal body. And you know, this life of God is eternal. And I want to encourage you, you need to, as you've come to know Christ, you need to experience this abundant life. It's not about your feelings. It's not about your emotions. It's life. And if you are down on that, you've got to contend for this life because this life is within you. And then you've got to switch that light on and let this life become a reality in you. There's the fullness of Christ. It's his joy. It's his love. There's the resources of heaven, everything that he has for you that he wants to unpack for you. And then in Galatians 2, verse 20, it says, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Remember, we're getting back to being circumcision. You've been crucified with Christ. The old man has died. I'm just giving these truths to you. And now you live as a new creation and Christ lives in you and you live by faith in the Son of God. You experience life. You experience life. And you see, when our minds are renewed to understand these things, we don't look in the mirror and we don't look at our circumstances, but we look what God has actually completed and we live with that reality. And you got to start to rise up and start to speak to your circumstances and start to speak life to your circumstances. You know, Jesus, when the storms of life came, when the Lord said, get in the boat and let's go to the other side, the Lord was tired. He started to sleep and the wind and the waves came. And what happened to the disciples? These were fishermen. They knew the waters. They got so fearful and the waves and the wind, and they thought they were going to drown. And they woke the Lord and said, don't you care for us? And what did he do? He realized that was within him, the authority that he had with him, this life that he had with him, and he used that, and he spoke life. He said, be still, be calm, and it obeyed him. What's different between you? We are not God, but God lives within us. And when he speaks through us, his very word, it does exactly the same. That's why we can pray for the sick. That's why we can speak over our circumstances. We can speak life into our circumstances. Emmanuel, you write in Matric now, do not only depend upon what you've learned, but speak life into those exams. Speak life. And I'm telling you, my boy, you're going to do well. God has blessed you and he's prospering you. I know things are tough at the moment, but you're going to find God has gone before. He loves you and he's proud of you. I really do sense there's leadership upon you and we've got to get you more involved in the life of his church here. And I just know into next year, you're going to see so much more working through your life. God loves you, Manuel. You need to know that. You're very special to him. Amen. So we are the circumcised. We are baptized into Christ, and it's a very, very important aspect. We need to know what the completed work of what Christ has done. And secondly, we worship in the Spirit or by the Spirit. This is the new way of the Spirit. Michael Eaton says, salvation is in an entirely new life empowered by the Holy Spirit in Christ. He has this new life, and I've said it before. God is Spirit. Father God is Spirit. Christ is Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Spirit. And we are to walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 16. I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It's a battle for you and I to not walk according to the flesh. I'm guilty because I've been trained for 60 years to walk in the flesh. And I find it easy to default to the flesh. I'm sure you do. You don't always respond, you react, and we've got to put that thing down. But we've got to find where God has called us to walk in the Spirit, the realm of where He is, God's Spirit, and allow Him to operate through us. You've got to get your mind out of around this thing, because it's not something that happens in the natural, it's by faith. And the simplicity of that, you just got to declare, I'm walking in the Spirit. And by saying that you are walking in the Spirit, and by walking in the Spirit, and the easiest way to walk in the Spirit is to walk by God's love. You're walking in the Spirit then, because then you prefer your brother, you forgive your brother, you lay down your life for your brother, you start to have God's nature working through you. That is walking in the Spirit. And in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. The Greek word for spirit, therefore, God is pneuma, and for our spirit is pneuma. There's something of a reality as we come into union with Christ, His Spirit and our spirit, the oneness that we have. We are a powerhouse. I'm telling you, any nuclear power station has nothing on who we are in Christ. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That is nuclear fission or fusion that's taking place there. But the power of God that's within us, if we can comprehend this, what's within us, and open up and work together with the Lord and work together with the Holy Spirit and release these things, who we are. Because, you know, I'm telling you now, because we don't walk in the Spirit, we are defeated. We walk in defeat because we're trying to manage things by the flesh. And yes, I'm not saying don't be good administrators and don't have things of the natural to work it out. But we've got to start doing things in the Spirit. We've got to start believing. Norman, your business, speak to the mountain. And you do that, and God provides. It's not so matter of just saying, I'm trusting God. Start to speak to your mountain. Jesus said to His disciples, whatever you say to this mountain, whatever you command and believe in your heart, what you say, it will be done for you. You remember, this is the Spirit. Jesus came and started to reveal the realm of God to us, and it was foreign to them. And it's foreign to us. And yes, we get people get into a place, we'll say, well, that faith movement. It's not that faith movement, it's God's Word. And we've got to operate in that. We've got to start to learn to call things that are not as if they are. You see, this is our worship. And this worship is, I'm just going to enumerate some of the things. What is worship? It's worshiping God in our serving of Him. It's praying. Part of our worship is to pray. What's happening here? In the prayer meetings, you praying, when we come on a Wednesday night, I want to just say to you, I'm disappointed with us as a family, because not many of us see the value of prayer. I know some have got circumstances because they're elderly, can't get there, but there's no excuse not to pray. I'm telling you now, because if we want to see God move in your life and the life of the church, we need to be standing together praying. And I want to really encourage you, if you really worship God, let's get in the Spirit and let's be praying together. What is another aspect? It's coming before God. An act of our spiritual worship is laying down our bodies before the Lord as a living sacrifice. Then the outworking of praise, singing to God, dancing before the Lord, enjoying His company, and telling others of the love that you have for Him. That's part of our worship. Worship comes into every part of our lives. So the challenge that I have to you today, are you worshiping the Lord in the Spirit? What we express here today, and thank you to the worship team and all the people behind that, to express praise and worship to the Lord in song. It's wonderful. But you know what? If you do this just in the flesh, you're not worshiping God. You've got to do it in the Spirit. So you've got to see yourself as an expression. When you're singing those words, you're seeing you're living in the Spirit and you're expressing, because how much of our worship, even in song, is in the natural flesh and not connecting with the Lord? I'll be honest with you, because you've got to be prepared to come and worship God. When you're laying down your flesh and you open up your hearts, because how many of us come and we are entertained, and it was good songs, and the guys played well, and the team did well, it was the good ambiance here. That's not worship. It's when we come with our hearts and we surrender to God and we lift up our hearts and we express to God. There's something of that. And I'm telling you, this entity of who we are, Spirit, we know nothing of that dimension. And this has got to start happening in our lives. And I challenge you to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. God wants to do that in and through your life. It's a challenge for everyone. You want to grow into maturity, start to live and walk in the Spirit as never before. Go and read your Galatians chapter 5. See the outworking of the flesh and see the outworking of the Spirit of God. And we see the fruit of the Spirit that comes through that. Thirdly, we who boast and glory in Christ Jesus. John 16, verse 13 to 15, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, and he will take what is mine and declare to you. All that is of the Father has his mind, and therefore I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So here the Holy Spirit comes. And I want to just say the role of the Holy Spirit, so wonderful to have God, the Holy Spirit, working in and out of our lives. But what is he wanting to do? He wants to take no glory for himself. He comes to glorify Jesus. And he wants to teach you Jesus. You'll see, yes, there's a relationship that we have with God, the Holy Spirit. And we need to work together with him because he guides us and he leads us. He's the administrator of the church. But he comes and he wants to reveal Christ to you. Even the Father, as the one that is ultimately in authority over the Godhead, put everything into Christ until Jesus can actually release this kingdom back to him. That's why there's a revelation that we need to have of Christ. You see, this revelation of Christ will be attacked, and that's why we have today, we have many that are out there that will come and try and rob you of your revelation of Christ. You know, I want to be honest with you. As I said earlier, this revelation of the gospel of Christ, I've been walking over 40 years with the Lord now, and it's been a wonderful privilege, and it hasn't always been plain sailing, but I can just see in my own life where I am at this point in time, an understanding of Christ, an understanding of my Lord and my Savior is a very personal thing that I can preach it from the pulpit here. But unless the Holy Spirit and you start to work it out together with him, it's an individual thing. You know, the scripture says God doesn't have any grandchildren. He doesn't. He just has sons. He doesn't have any grandchildren. And the revelation of Christ is a very individualistic thing. God has got to reveal himself to you. And I'm telling you, this is something that we've got to contend of understanding Christ. And yes, we understand the wonder of dying on the cross, but it's the beauty and it's the wonder and the awesomeness of knowing him on a daily basis, who this God is. And I'm telling you, it takes this. T-I-M-E. Do you understand what I said? Time. It takes time. And God's, in his grace, wants to reveal himself to you, but it's going to take you spending time with him because he wants to reveal himself to you. And I'm going to say something profound here, and you might not like what I'm going to say. Your Lord, Jesus, is not my Lord. He needs to be my Lord, and he needs to be your Lord. Then he's our Lord. That's how the body of Christ actually works. It's corporate. We are the body of Christ. But if he's not your Lord, there's a danger. And you've got to set him aside in your heart as Lord. And you've got to find him as Lord. And you've got to find Jesus. Can I say, I think the church has lost Jesus. I really do believe that. When I see the church and I see where she's going, she's found entertainment, she's found expression, she's found social gospel, she found liberation gospel, and I'm not being critical, Lord, but I'm just saying, I think majority of the church, and even us, we've lost Jesus. Because sometimes it's all about us, it's about our buildings, it's about our skills and who we are, It's not about who he is. And I'm telling you now, we've got to get back to this fullness. And the devil comes to rob us of Christ and take him away from us. And when I say take us away from Christ, he's not just an image. He's God. And we've got to know not the Jesus that walked those roads in Jerusalem, in Palestine 2,000 years ago. You've got to know the Christ that lives in you. And this is a journey I cannot do for you. I cannot do this for you. I've got to do it myself. And you have got to spend time with him and allow him to reveal himself to you, that when you sit there and you worship in him, that the tears come to your face and you have a revelation of him and you know that he's your Lord and he's your everything, that you in total surrender, that it's nothing about who I am and what I've done. It's you, Lord. That is life. Because then you can go out and you can go and live life, because he wants to be the fullness in your life. You see, this Jesus, I'm telling you, you and I, we don't know him. And we've got to get to know him. But he's a God that is rich with mercy. He is full of forgiving grace. Don't underestimate his forgiveness. Let me tell you, this issue of sin is major. And when we sin, and we all sin, but when you come before him and he cleanses you from all unrighteousness, do you understand the price he paid for you to forgive your sin? God Almighty surrendered himself and went to a cross and was beaten and bruised and stabbed and crucified for you. This is your Jesus. And this is the appreciation and the love that you're having. You can never pay him back. It's his love for you and his grace for you. This is this Jesus who loves you. He's rich in sympathy, in mercy. He's provision. He's gracious. Fall in love with Jesus, that you can boast in him. We need to get to a place that all that we have is Jesus. Honestly, he must be our all in all. He must be our very life. And I'm telling you now, it will not happen. And again, I keep saying, when you are so busy and you cannot give God time, you will not know this Jesus. And it's not good enough to say, well, I'm going to heaven, then I'll know him. I don't know what's happening beyond that thing. The scriptures doesn't give us much understanding of that. But I'm telling you, the outworking of earth and our existence here determines there. There's something happening there that determines how we live out here. And you have an opportunity, and it's never too late to know Jesus. You might be a Christian and you've given your heart, like me, 40 years ago. And I challenge you today, but do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? I question myself. I know of him, but I don't know him. And in my heart, I battle and I fight to get to know this wonderful, living God. Since his presence right here. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know his love. He wants you to know his forgiveness and his provision. It's okay, my child. He wants you to know that as you obey him, it'll be okay. What is COVID? It's okay. What is inflation and what is no money? It's okay. I'm your Lord. This Jesus wants to reveal himself to you. And Paul gets to this place and he said, I boast in Christ Jesus. I boast in Christ Jesus. I glorify in him, because I'm not going to get ahead of myself. He put no confidence in the flesh, and we don't have time to do that today. But Paul got to a place and he knew that he was circumcised, no longer part of this world. He belonged to Christ. God had completed his work in him. He worshipped. His life was to worship God in the Spirit. And he boasted in Christ. I'm telling you, when you start to get these ingredients, and the next one as we do next week, no confidence in the flesh, you will live a fruitful life in Christ. Jesus said that they might bear much fruit, and that fruit is the fruit of the Spirit, and God's going to measure that. He's going to measure that in all our lives, and there's no condemnation in Christ, but let's get back to not being deceived by what the world is throwing at us, what the devil is pushing upon us, what the TV's telling us, what Google's telling us, and social media is throwing at us. I just, in my heart, I just can. Time belongs to God. And God's given you authority over your time. Your calendar is your calendar. And I'm telling you, we're all accountable with our time. And we seem to have less time. But let's give God time. Spend time with Him and His Word. Let's not get full of rules and regulations. Let's get to a place of allowing Jesus to be preeminent in our lives and get to know Him as Lord and Savior. I just sense the Lord telling you again today, He loves you. You are precious to Him. He willingly went to the cross for you to pay the price for you, that you will know Him. Don't miss this opportunity of getting to know your Lord and Savior. And again, in conclusion, I say to you, what is your gospel? And let's be like Paul, who declared to the Philippians, we are the circumcision, we who worship in the Spirit of God, who boast in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. May you never be deceived. May your eyes never be taken off Jesus. May you be brought to a place of your fullness and your all in all is Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless you all. Let me pray for you. I'm being challenged as I've been preaching here. I'm sure you've been challenged as the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you through His Word. Father, as we bow our hearts before You, we recognize, Lord, apart from You, we are nothing. And Lord, You've challenged us with the work that You've completed. You've challenged us on a lifestyle that we need to live in the Spirit. You've challenged us to be boastful of Christ and your presence within us. And Father, I pray for everyone here this morning, everyone online, and everyone will see this video. I pray, Father, will You manifest time that we can spend with You. That, Lord, that You would reveal Yourselves to our hearts and to our minds, that we would be in a place that we would rejoice in You and we would find a place to boast in You, that You'll become everything. And as we seek first You, Lord, and Your kingdom, that You'll add all these things. And Lord, where we've been guilty, where we've sought first the things and not You, and we've tried to put You into the mix, it's the wrong way around. Will You forgive us, Lord, that You will be first in our lives and everything in our lives, to take up Your rightful place in our lives as Lord. Take up Your rightful place as Lord. And if those are out there, if Jesus is not in your as Lord of your life, will you submit to Him? Will you confess Him as your Lord and Savior today? And will you get to know Him and follow Him and obey Him? It will go well with you. It will go well with you. So Father, we just give ourselves to You now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.